Well, as we've heard, David Livingstone was relatively small in stature, and yet in every other way, he was larger than life. David was a man with a big personality and a big heart. I visited David in the city hospital after an initial medical procedure less than 2 months ago. And when I entered the bay where he was sitting up in a chair. I expected to find him in the bed, but he was sitting up in a chair, and he was talking to the man beside him who was almost nodding off, and he knew everyone in the bay and all the staff that were coming in and out already. From that point on to this past weekend, though, David just seemed to get weaker and weaker, physically speaking. And as David grew weaker, he loved to meditate on and ponder the strength of his God, the one who David knew who would be with him come what may and would never leave his side. David especially loved to ponder the truth in Psalm 46 that Jamie read for us earlier. We talked about the truth in Psalm 46 together. And this is the psalm that David's beloved wife Mary read to him to comfort him in his final hours of this life. So I thought it would be fitting this afternoon to take some time to reflect on Psalm 46 and to think especially about what David saw in this psalm, this poem at the heart of our Bibles, and what David delighted in when reading and thinking about it. My hope is that this address will help us not just to reflect on David, this big-hearted man, but on the big God that David Livingstone trusted in life and in death. Psalm 46 is in our Bibles to remind us of who God is for us when we are going through some of the most difficult times in our lives. The first truth this psalm presents to us, and that I know David delighted in, is that God is the fortress of his people in all the storms of this life. A metaphor is engaged at the beginning of the psalm. We read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. This poetic language of the earth giving way, the mountains being swallowed up by the sea and knocked over by waves, is a poetic way of speaking of those really hard times in our lives when we feel like everything is unraveling and falling apart around us. And let's face it, every single one of us will face such times in our lives. No one is immune to some of the harder times that this life leads us into. There's a focus in the psalm on the sea. Notice how the opening verses speak of the earth falling into the sea, the mountains being moved into the heart of the sea, the waters of the sea roaring and foaming. It's helpful to know that the sea in ancient times represented everything that was scary and chaotic, even death itself. And the point is simply this, as the psalm begins. When the waves of hardship roll over us, when the waves of death swell. God is for his people like a fortress, a rock, a lighthouse standing strong in the middle of it. And we can run to him and be safe and strong in him. To illustrate this a little bit further, I want to bring up on the screen a picture that I have in my study. This is a famous picture that was taken when a lighthouse keeper, you might be able to see just standing at the door, there is a man called Theodore Malgorn. The lighthouse keeper was in a major storm. This was taken in 1989 off the coast of France, Brittany. The lighthouse keeper had called in for help because he was getting a bit nervous about the storm. He heard a helicopter hovering over the lighthouse and assumed it was the rescue helicopter. But in fact, it was a helicopter that had been hired by a French photographer called Jean Guichard. Jean Guichard's passion was to take photographs of lighthouses and storms. And so Theodore Malgorn, the lighthouse keeper, heard the helicopter, went down to the lower part of the lighthouse and opened the door to see what was happening. He didn't realize that he was stepping out just as a big swell was about to engulf the lower half of the lighthouse. Just at the point where Malgorn stepped out to the door and the wave was swelling, Jean Guichard snapped this photograph that has become one of the most famous lighthouse pictures around today. Malgorn, quickly realizing the wave was about to envelop the lower part of the lighthouse, turned on his heels, ran back in, and was later rescued. I find this picture such an encouragement because it reminds me that when all the waters of trial, painful things, death swell over us, there is one who is a rock, a fortress, a lighthouse, a refuge for us. In Proverbs 18:10, we read, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." When David Livingstone knew he was deteriorating physically, he ran into the Lord, his fortress, because he knew God as his place of strength, his rock, his place of rest, and his refuge. Mary, David, Janet, Christopher, Jamie, Sophie, the Lord is your only place of rest and refuge as the waves of grief roll over you today. Turn to him. Run into the Lord in prayer and say, "Lord, you are all we have." I've said this already twice today. David would often say to me after a service or after a prayer meeting, or when we would be talking about some of the difficult things we were experiencing as a fellowship, he would often say to me, "Stephen." There's only two people who called me Stephen, my mum and David Livingstone. He would say, "Stephen, where would we be without the Lord?" And, you know, he spoke every word slowly. Where would we be without the Lord? David knew the Lord as his rock whenever the waves of difficulty swelled round and about. The second truth this psalm presents to us, and that, again, I know David delighted in, is that God is also the defender of his people when they feel surrounded by difficulties. The picture in the psalm changes from chaotic, uncontrolled waters to channeled, tame waters that serve God's purpose. In verse 4, we read, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." God's dwelling place is here depicted as a city. And at the centerpiece of this city is a river with streams providing water and refreshment and life for all the people in the city. This life-giving, soul-refreshing river flows from the very throne of God and is again this beautiful poetic image of God's life-giving, all-refreshing presence in the midst of his people when they feel surrounded. In verse 6 of the psalm, another threat is introduced. And instead of the sea roaring around, this time we read of enemies, surrounding nations, roaring and intimidating the city of God. The picture is of a besieged city with God in the middle of it, his people feeling intimidated by enemies round about, and the enemies are besieging the city. And then we read in verse 5, God is in the midst of this city, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. You can see the image is so vivid. A city being attacked, but God's in that city. And this city will never fall because God is in the heart of it. His people can rest secure because he is in the midst of them. In verse 6, we read that God lifts his voice. It's like the dominant lion roars, and all the enemies simply melt away. And then we're invited in the psalm to come and behold the works of the Lord when he's finished dealing with all his enemies. And that is everyone and everything that is opposed to God's good purposes of peace and justice and human flourishing in this world. Here's what we read in verses 8 and 9 and 10. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. This again is a poetic image of God standing on a battlefield. All the enemies, all who opposed him are standing defeated. He's destroyed all weapons of war, all that brings injustice, hurt, pain, and evil to this world. It all stands defeated by the God of peace. And you're to stand and be still and just ponder the glory and power of this God who is the strength of his people. Often we see that passage, be still and know that I am God, on little posters with a little fluffy chick or a cat on it. And yet the image here is one of a ferocious God who stands against all his enemies. And that is good news for us, because this is speaking of the enemies of sin, death, everything that causes us hurt and pain and suffering. God is opposed to it all. David knew that this God was defending him when he was besieged by sickness, and even when he knew his death was closing in. He had great comfort in knowing that God was not just his fortress, but also his defender. And again, Mary, Janet, Dave, the whole family circle. This is the God who's here to defend you and watch over you going forward. Often the death of a loved one can make us feel vulnerable. But Mary, God is your defender. He's with you going forward. Well, the third truth this psalm then presents to us, and that again I know David delighted in, is this: God is the ever-present helper of his people in times of trouble. Twice in the psalm, in verse 7 and 11, we read these words, which really summarize the psalm well. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This summarizes the psalm so well because it speaks to us of God being both our strong place and defense against the storm, but also he's the one who is with us. If you imagine back to that lighthouse, you run into God and you're safe. He's a fortress around us, but then he's in the lighthouse with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. If there was ever a truth that David Livingstone delighted in, it was this one. Jesus, in his closing words in Matthew 28:20, and behold, Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. David shared with me in a text message shortly before he died how he was finding the nights difficult because he wasn't sleeping well. But he sent me in this message a lovely little glimmer of hope, saying, though I am low, I'm having, and I quote, wonderful nights with my Lord. That's lovely, isn't it? To know that David, in those moments, as a Christian, as one who knew Jesus, knew the comfort and the reassurance of the living God staying with him, a very present help in his time of trouble. This truly is one of the most precious truths for the Christian. Our God has always promised to stay with us in the good times and the hard times. And even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, our God stays with us. Psalm 23:4, many of you will know these words well. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Though when we come to die, we will leave behind all our earthly friends and family, there is one who will stay with us even when we walk through our own death. One who will shield us from the waves, who will protect us from the harm of hell and condemnation, and who will guide us safely through death to the place prepared for us. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and he alone can lead us through the valley of the shadow of death because he has gone through it before us. In the reading that Sophie brought to us, Jesus said it was good to his disciples that he was going away because he said he was going to go and prepare a place for his people. And he said that he would come back and take them to be with him so that they could be where he would be in the presence of Almighty God in heaven. And then Thomas said, Lord, we don't really understand what you're saying to us. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus just answered with this beautiful truth, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. There is one place of refuge. There is one rock. There is one fortress that will stand and will never fail you when you face death. And there is only one, and it is Jesus Christ. Because he has gone through the fullness of death before us, all we will know if we trust in him is the valley of the shadow of death. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he went through death in all its fullness. Our sins are like waves that will drown us. Yet Jesus took our sins upon himself when he died on the cross so that our sin would be removed from us and that he would die and take it all away. if we trust in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, all we will know is the journey through the valley of the shadow of death. We will not go through death itself because Jesus has taken the sting out of death. And think about it. If there's a shadow, there must be a light somewhere. We've reflected on this together on Sunday at Great Vic here at church. This valley in Psalm 23 is called the valley of the shadow of death. If there is a shadow on the road, there must be light beyond that which casts the shadow. We are to imagine death standing in front of us, personified, just like this aisle. Imagine I'm about to die and I'm going down this path and there death stands in front of me, casting its long shadow along the way. And yet I know because there's a shadow, there must be light beyond. And so in Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the light of the world, we see the light beyond death, the hope beyond the grave. We have one who will meet us in our grief, meet us in our death, and who will bring us safely through to the place prepared for us. And what I want to do just now is to ask each of us today, do you know that you have God as your fortress, as your defender, as your very present help in trouble? Do you know when you come to die that you will have a place of refuge and rest from the storms of hell and condemnation and death? Because Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the rock, I'm the refuge. And any one of us can receive Jesus and say, Lord, I want to know in that day that I have a resting place and that I will be safe when the waters of death swell around me. Hope in Jesus. Receive him as your rock and refuge. That is the only hope and the only place to stand when our death will come. David delighted in these truths. They brought him such comfort in the weeks before he walked through death and home into the presence of his Lord. An old minister used to say to me and to our congregation in Armagh, make sure when you come to die, all you have to do is die. And now David is singing in a sweeter tune. I am redeemed, O praise the Lord. My soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me. Do you know that resting place for your soul in Jesus? I know David would want me to ask you that question. Let's pray together as we close. Father, we thank you for the precious truth of Psalm 46, that because we have Jesus, if we receive him by faith and trust in him, we can know you as our fortress, as our defender, as our very present help in trouble. Thank you, Jesus, that you have gone through death before us so that we do not have to fear when we come to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because you will be with us. Lord, it would be an awful thing to have to go through that by ourselves. But we thank you that in Christ, we have a shepherd who will lead us safely home to glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.